Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 589, interview with Lucy Commissar about the BCCI. This is being recorded on March 11th of the year 2007. And once again, it is my pleasure and privilege to bring back to our airwaves journalist Lucy Commissar, whom we have visited with in the past talking about offshore, meaning offshore money movements, a subject that we're going to be revisiting in this talk as we talk about the BCCI. Lucy, welcome back once again to our airwaves.
Thank you.
Now, Lucy, before we actually get into what the BCCI is, what we're going to be talking about is a chapter about that bank that you have written for a new book, a book that is just becoming available. Could you please tell us, first of all, the book? Its title, its editor, its publisher, the general subject material, and also tell us about your website.
Okay. The book is called A Game as Old as Empire. It's a follow-on to Confessions of an Economic Hitman, which was written by John Perkins. It's edited by Stephen Hyatt. It is published by Barrett Kohler in San Francisco. And it's made up of, about a dozen chapters from different individuals, including me, with subjects as diverse as hijacking Iraq's oil reserves, mercenaries on the front lines in the new scramble for Africa, the World Bank and the $100 billion question, the human cost of cheap cell phones, and stories of that sort. Really takes a very broad look at what is going on in the world by the people who are controlling and trying to control more of the assets of the world. It's officially being published on Monday, the 19th of March, but it's actually available now. You can get it if you want through my website, which is thecommissarscoop.com, and you'll see the link at the top where you can buy it through Amazon at a 1/3 discount.
All righty. Commissar, by the way, I should stress, is spelled K-O-M-I-S-A-R. And in the description for this program, we'll have links to Lucy's website and also to Barrett Kohler. Now, Lucy, before we actually launch right into the discussion of BCCI, BCCI is something of a subset of a focal point of your work that we've talked about in many broadcasts. I'm going to ask perhaps the impossible. I'm going to ask you to give us an encapsulated definition or explanation for what offshore is, and then we'll move from the discussion of what offshore is into the specific example of BCCI.
Okay. Offshore is the it's a parallel financial system which is run by the world's big banks with the approval of the major industrial countries, the G7. There are over 70 offshore jurisdictions where people and companies can set up secret bank accounts and shell companies, which are just paper companies, the purpose of which is to move money and do other kinds of financial leisure domain. And whenever you hear about some kind of corrupt deal, whether it be Enron, for example, or the movement of the money that helped the collapse of Parmalat, which in Europe was just as big as Enron, it always involves the offshore system because that's where you can have secret money can stay secret. And BCCI, at the time, was a bank which was an offshore bank. It was it divided its books between Grand Cayman and Luxembourg, so no bank regulator could really see what was going on. And when it finally collapsed, it was the biggest bank collapse that had the biggest bank fraud, bank collapse in history. And that's why people are concerned about BCCI, because the system hasn't changed. You would have thought that such a huge collapse would have made a change in the system, but it was covered up. And the chapter that I did tries to bring this up to date, because the collapse was in 1991.
By the way, excuse me for interrupting, Lucy. BCCI stands for Bank of Credit and Commerce International, but WAGs have dubbed it the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International or something along those lines.
That is true. You know, that the WAG who said that was former CIA Director Gates.
Oh, really?
He called it the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International.
Well, he ought to know, huh?
Yes, he should, because the BCCI was a prime client. And the chapter that I wrote is called The BCCI Game, Banking on America, Banking on Jihad, And it's about how the Reagan-Bush CIA team used the BCCI to run guns, finance Islamic jihadists, launder money, and prime among their happy clients was Osama bin Laden.
Yep. By the way, Gates, one of the I'd forgotten that that was Gates who coined that term, but of course the inertia, the institutional inertia that derives from BCCI, now many years in the past, but the milieu of the BCCI is still with us. Of course, Gates is currently Secretary of Defense. BCCI has, as I like to say, more connections than a switchboard, and even though it did fail in the early 90s, the institutions and individuals who were involved with its various operations are very much occupying center stage around the world today. Why don't we start, Lucy, with a discussion of the Bush family, both Bush 1, so to speak, and Bush 2, and their links to BCCI. And then we can go on, we can go to Al-Qaeda, or so many different institutions and individuals who are occupying headlines on the scene. The Bush family, speaking of Crooks and Criminals International.
Okay. Well, the Bush links to the bank passed through James Bath, a Texas businessman, who worked with a man named Bin Mahfouz, who was a big-time Saudi banker. He invested money in the United States on behalf of Bin Mahfouz, and with a third partner, Gaith Faron, who also a Saudi, and they shared ownership of Houston's main bank. When Bush won in 1976, was head of the CIA, the agency sold some of the planes of Air America. Remember, that was the secret proprietary it used during the Vietnam War. Sold that some of those planes to Skyway, a company owned by Bath and Bin Mahfouz. Bath then helped finance George W. Bush's oil company, Arbusto Energy, in 1979 and 80. Then, when Harkin, which by then had absorbed Arbusto, got into financial trouble in 87, it got a $25 million financing from the Union Bank of Switzerland, and as part of that deal, a place on the board was given to Harkin shareholder Sheikh Abdullah Taha Bak, whose chief banker was BCCI shareholder Bin Mahfouz. We see the circle again. Then in 1988, George Bush Sr. was elected president, and Harkin benefited from that. It got some new investors, including Salem bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's father.
Actually, wasn't, excuse me for correcting, I believe Salem bin Laden was actually his brother. I think his father was Muhammad. But there are a lot of...
I believe it was his father who was the investor, and I correct the name then. And Khalid bin Mahfouz. So the money flowed from the Saudis into the Bush family investments.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting about the BCCI, and BCCI is a name, unfortunately, not known to most people, and that's not meant to be self-righteous. It is a name that's very well known to me. It's a subject I've been covering for the better part of two decades. And yet, when I read your chapter, Lucy, one of the things that struck me was how deeply embedded the BCCI milieu is with other institutions which have become scandals in and of themselves, such as Harkin Energy. I was not aware of how many of the people from BCCI were also key players in Harkin, although I knew it was generally the same milieu. And what basically we see is the BCCI deeply linked to both Bush's, Bush 2's business company, Harkin Energy, derived from, was capitalized in considerable measure by people associated with BCCI. And let's talk a little bit about Bush 1, Lucy. And one of the things that the BCCI was deeply involved with was some of the illegalities that came to light when the Iran-Contra scandal broke. BCCI was used by people like Oliver North and Richard Secord, and the elder George Bush, far from being out of the loop, was deeply involved with Iran-Contra. Would you like to develop that for us, or would you like to move on to other connections?
Well, this is it's a bit of history, but the BCCI bank was used by the CIA as their secret bank. So when they were involved in something such as Iran-Contra, that was handled very well, but also in cooperation with some other banks. They didn't necessarily have the accounts stay there, but they moved them around, and there were other banks that would cooperate with that.
Indeed. And one of the things that eventually became clear was that a number of different covert operations from the 1980s were actually all linked. The arming of Iran, the arming of Iraq, the arming of the Contras, all of these things, the arming of the Afghan Mujahideen, were all part of sort of a giant mega covert operation. It's something that on my talk show in the 1980s, before the BCCI scandal broke, I referred to as the Mediterranean merry-go-round, with weapons traveling in various directions and drugs coming usually the opposite way and terrorists feeding off of this rather like bread mold on a loaf. And
well, the money, you know, it was not just the money that moved. For example, in the Contra issue, North had Panamanian shell companies plus the secret BCCI accounts to move the $20 million in arms for the Contras and Iran in 85 and 86. And then he had to move the financing for the TOW missiles. BCCI provided more than $11 million in financing for over 1,000 U.S. TOW anti-tank missiles that were sold to Iran's Revolutionary Guards in exchange for the release of the American hostages. It was discovered that checks signed by North were drawn on BCCI's Paris branch. And, of course, when the U.S. looked into it, when investigators looked into it, they had no records of the account. And BCCI handled the money to Noriega. North funneled money to Noriega, and he became a BCCI client at the CIA's suggestion. So you could see the connections through BCCI and other clients of the CIA and other and shell companies in other locations.
One of the things that's interesting, too, is that, again, even though the BCCI formally went under in the early 1990s, it was in many ways sort of a staging area or perhaps, using a vermin metaphor, breeding ground for an awful lot of what has infected the body politic in the years since. Obviously, in the first decade of the 21st century, we have heard a great deal about Osama bin Laden, about al-Qaeda. Of course, bin Laden and al-Qaeda were birthed as warriors from the Afghan Mujahideen effort. And I wonder if you would tie in not only Osama bin Laden, but the genesis of the Afghan Mujahideen, and link that for us, as you do in your chapter, with some of the major players on the Saudi capital scene, such as the bin Mafuzes and their related elements.
Yeah, what happened was when the U.S., when the CIA wanted to send money to Osama bin Laden, it needed a bank. BCCI, which had been started by a Pakistani, had branches in Pakistan, and the Islamabad branch became a very convenient place to move off the money to Osama bin Laden. Also, by the way, giving him a very good education in how to move money secretly through the offshore system. And that, so that worked during the whole period of financing Osama bin Laden. The Saudis, who were also providing money, were also, of course, big shareholders in the bank, also used the bank to move money to Osama bin Laden. They were, it came out, of course, much later, the Saudi connection of the Saudi money connection. The biggest shareholders were the Saudis and United Arab Emirates sheikhs. Sheikh Kamal Adam, who is the brother-in-law of the late Saudi King Faisal, who was the head of Saudi intelligence in the 60s and 70s and the CIA's liaison in the area, was one of BCCI's largest shareholders. George Bush, one, knew him from his time running the CIA in 1975. Another big investor was Prince Turki bin Faisal Al Saud, and he succeeded Adam as Saudi intelligence chief. So the very top important Saudis were connected as shareholders to BCCI, not only taking a lot of the money for themselves in loans they never repaid, but also conveniently using the bank to move money to Osama bin Laden.
Now, Osama bin Laden, obviously he got his start as a combatant. By the way, he's, of course, one of the many children of a very, very powerful Saudi family, the bin Laden family, one of the wealthiest families in the Middle East, and a player on the international corporate scene in a very, very big way. Osama bin Laden and the Saudi investment company have their fingers in a lot of different pies, not just the construction business and other petroleum industry-related enterprises, but the BCCI link to the funding of Osama bin Laden's combatants goes back to the Afghan Mujahideen War against the former Soviet Union. Could you touch on that connection for us, fill in the blanks between the BCCI, the Afghan Mujahideen, and Osama bin Laden, and then perhaps in the context of that, we'll transition to a discussion of the Bank al-Taqwa.
Okay. The money went from the CIA, which was using BCCI as their standard offshore bank for illicit money, to Islamabad, where it was provided to bin Laden as a leader of the Mujahideen. So that is that part. But BCCI continued to operate at a point when it became, or the follow-ons, because, you know, the bank may stop, but they never got the money. Nobody ever found the money. We're talking about maybe $15 billion. That money was never found. And so we have no proof, of course, because the whole point of offshore is that you don't open these accounts to anybody's perusal. But it is quite logical to assume that the money was then put into banks with other names and continued to flow to the favored recipients, this time of the Saudis, but also of the CIA.
Bank al-Taqwa, Lucy. One of the things you talk about in your chapter is how the Bank al-Taqwa, originally set up as an organ of the Muslim Brotherhood, worked with the BCCI initially to fund the Afghan Mujahideen. Fill us in on that, if you would.
Well, it was a lot of this information comes from Ernest Bacchus, who wrote the book, co-authored the book Revelation, and knows about connections between Clearstream, which is House of Compensation for Financial Paper at Luxembourg, its connection to BCCI, and then through that, some connections to al-Taqwa. So here we have a triangular connection. For example, to start with the first part of it, he says that microfiches show that when BCCI was finally closed down in July of 1991, rented an entire floor in the Hotel Intercontinental in Luxembourg and continued to function. The Intercon belonged to a group of Anglo-Iranian, owned by the Anglo-Iranian businessman Nadmi Auchi, whose company, Dowell Corporation, had an account at BCCI. The transfer went to a non-published account of the Bank of Luxembourg, which is connected to the Luxembourg Royals. So let's move from Clearstream to al-Taqwa. Now, al-Taqwa was a bank. The name is called Fear of God, but it was not a real bank, bricks and mortar. It was a shell bank. It was registered in the Bahamas with offices in Lugano, but it was registered as a correspondent account inside the Banco del Gotardo, which is a Lugano, Switzerland bank. So al-Taqwa Bank is not a real bank with a building. It exists because it has accounts inside another bank. And this other bank had a Clearstream account. And the purpose of that, as I said, is to move financial paper. without regulation and oversight, because this institution does not have any international oversight. The CIA must have had a very good idea of what the Al-Taqwa Bank was doing, because after the September 11th attacks, it went to follow the financial trail of bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda network, and in November, it named some banks that it said had bin Laden accounts, and one of them was Al-Taqwa in the Bahamas, and there were it was immediately shut down, and there were raids on the Al-Taqwa offices in Campione d'Italia, which is where a man named Nada, who was connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, lives. I met and interviewed him after all this happened.
A couple of points very quickly, Lucy. I just wanted to fill in for listeners by way of tying in this discussion with other For the Record programs. Of course, Youssef Nada, according to both Egyptian intelligence, as discussed in the book Dollars for Terror by Richard LaBeviere, and the Asia Times, was a former Abwehr agent, a former agent of German intelligence, which used the Muslim Brotherhood in World War II as a vehicle to further its purposes in the Middle East against the British and also the Russians in some of the Muslim areas of the former Soviet Union. And also the specific account that the U.S. Treasury Department cited as being the Al-Qaeda account in Bank Al-Taqwa was run by a guy named Ali bin Musalim, who was found dead about a month after this became public in his Lausanne, Switzerland apartment. Interestingly enough, Mr. bin Musalim had been indicted in the U.S. in the early 1980s for conspiring along with the ultra-right-wing Hunt brothers of Texas, specifically Nelson Bunker Hunt, with trying to corner the silver market. And one of the points that I've made, and we'll move on, Lucy, from here, one of the points that I've made, and I want listeners to remember as they hear this discussion, is that in the context of Bank Al-Taqwa and some of these other institutions as well, even though in the foreground we may see Muslims and Muslim Brotherhood and others, they are part of an international far-right, I would say fascist milieu, part of what some authors have termed the post-war fascist international. So just cueing that in for members of the audience. Lucy, more about Bank Al-Taqwa and Clearstream and BCCI by way of supplementing several previous interviews that we've done.
Well, one of the points that is also related to this, if you want to go back to the Clearstream, is that in May 2001, just a few months before the trade centers were attacked, there were 16 unpublished accounts opened under the name of SICO, the Saudi Investment Company, of the Saudi. It's the Geneva holding of the Saudi bin Laden group, and it's run by Osama's brother, Yeslam bin Laden. He said he had nothing to do with his brother, but SICO is tied into Osama's financial network because it's connected with the Dar al-Mal al-Islami, an Islamic financial institution also based in Geneva and presided over by Prince Mohammed al-Faisal al-Saud, a cousin of the Saudi King Fahd, that runs a charity that runs donations to fundamentalist movements, and that has a share of the Al-Shamal Islamic Bank of Sudan, which was partly financed by $50 million from Osama bin Laden. You really need a chart or a map to connect these interlinking ties that go from one bank to the other. The Al-Taqwa Bank, although it was registered in the Banco del Gotardo, the Americans shut down the Al-Taqwa Bank, but they didn't do anything to the Banco del Gotardo. People might remember, if they have seen part three of The Godfather, that the subplot is about a bank which is really the Banco del Gotardo. It is the bank that laundered kickbacks for Yeltsin, for example, and has been involved in a lot of dirty dealing.
Now, the interrupting briefly, Lucy, the Banco del Gotardo was actually at one point the Swiss subsidiary of another bank that became a focal point of scandal, the Banco Ambrosiano.
So again, it gets broader and broader. Yes, and in fact, let me correct it. The movie was about Ambrosiano, and at that time, Gottardo was a subsidiary of Ambrosiano.
Mm-hmm.
And Altaqua now, it was raided. It was closed down, but there wasn't money taken from it. So one, it's like a balloon, you know. You grasp it with in one part, and you squeeze it, and then you get a big bubble someplace else. So they may have changed the name of the bank, and now it has another name. It's very easy to set up another offshore bank in a place like Switzerland or Nassau, the Bahamas.
And one of the common elements, again, Lucy, is this Clearstream network, which was used by Bank Altaqua, was used by BCCI, used by Ambrosiano / Gottardo, and appears to be one of the common elements in these, at least superficially, seemingly unrelated scandals and institutions. But actually, as one begins to hone in on this, as you've done in Chapter 4 of the book, it becomes clear that, if not coterminous, these are all not only related but part of a larger and very insidious phenomenon.
That is true. And there's an interesting event going on now in France, where there has been, for the last year or so, a big scandal relating to a forged list of accounts that purported to be Clearstream accounts, which included the names of some big politicians. And the scandal was who added these phony names to the account, and was one politician trying to hurt his competitor? These are people from the right-wing party. And all of the press is dealing with that, the mainstream press. None of them are dealing with the fact that Clearstream itself is a very problematic institution, which is used to move money secretly through unpublished accounts. It's as if they just were throwing sand in people's eyes, because you would think that when the story broke, people would say, well, what is it about this bank that that it is being used to do nefarious things? But they don't deal with that at all. It's just a political scandal. And even if it ever gets solved, that is, who is it that wrote these phony names, that will end the story, because the media there says the financial part of it is too complex.
Lucy, excuse me.
They like to put in sexy stuff about politicians doing dirty to each other.
Lucy, we're almost out of time on this side. The Clearstream Network, known by insiders, as you've mentioned in the past, as the stream that washes. We're going to continue with this discussion on side two, Lucy. Very quickly, give us your website, also the title of the forthcoming book and where people can order it.
The website is The Commissar Scoop, and Commissar is K-O-M-I-S-A-R, thecommissarscoop.com. The book is A Game as Old as Empire, and you can order it by clicking on a link on the website. It'll take you to Amazon, and you'll get it for one-third off.
All righty. And bloody headlines in the news about goings-on in Iraq and Iran inside, too. We're going to discuss how the BCCI links to the history of both of those countries. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 589, interview with Lucy Commissar about the BCCI. This has been recorded on March 11th of the year 2007. For Lucy Commissar, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.